Thank you, Gloria, for sharing that testimony with us. That was a blessing, and we appreciate it so much. We're in a series on Sunday nights dealing with how to deal with how you feel. How do you deal with different things that you face in life and how you're feeling about those things? Tonight, we want to talk about how you deal with how you feel when you feel like your parents don't understand. The young people, that's the first amen I've gotten out of them in a long time. When you feel like your parents don't understand, let's look at Luke chapter 15, if you will, verses 11 through 16, very familiar passage of Scripture and story that if you've been in church, you've heard for many, many years. And we call it the story of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 16. Begin with verse 11, and he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' Then he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself," verse 17, "he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?' He came to his senses. And then he said," we'll go on to verse 18, "'I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee, against heaven, and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'" And then we'll get into the reaction of his father a little bit later on. Always there have been problems in families, and many times in the relationship between mothers and daddies and their children, and especially when they're teenagers. Some of you parents might remember when you were a teenager and some of the difficulties that you gave to your mother and to your dad. And some parents look around now and they see their children and they're thinking, "I don't know, maybe an alien invaded the church nursery and dropped them off. And that's why they act the way they do." You wonder what exactly is going on. And they look at the parents and say, "I think my mom and dad came over on Noah's Ark." And they don't know much. They have old-fashioned ideas about life and old-fashioned ideas about children and what should go on between the two. But let me ask you a question. This is part of the main thrust of this message, is how do you communicate in your family from the parents to the children, children back to the parents? Communication, I believe, is one of the greatest keys there is. Now, perhaps this prodigal son and his father did not have a lot of communication. The Bible doesn't say. But there must have been some problem, somehow, some way. Who's to blame? We're not real sure. But the prodigal got this attitude, "I want my way now. I want what's coming to me right now. I do not want to wait." He was very demanding, and obviously there was some kind of communication problem, because he demanded those things from his father. He was very unhappy as a son, and he wanted to get away from home. "I want to be on my own." How many times have you heard that from somebody that is a teenager maybe, and they feel like they are grown up when they're about 17? By the way, the law even recognizes that, unfortunately. But they want to get away. "I don't want to be tied down to mama, and I don't want to be tied down to the rules and regulations of the home." And of course, they don't have to wait till they're 17. Many times, it's a lot younger than that. and they don't want to do perhaps what mom wants and what dad wants, and they feel like they want to be on their own. And what happens is, and here's what happened to this young fellow, he valued things and pleasure more than people. He valued things and pleasure more than his mother and his dad. And that's an unfortunate thing. He wanted to go have fun, have his way, and he didn't care if he broke his mother and daddy's heart. And so pleasure was part of the key to what he wanted to do. He wanted to sort of live it up for a while. Choose my own music, choose my own dress, my style, all of those things, and choose values that are different from the values of the Bible. That's exactly what he did, didn't he? He didn't choose the values of the Bible. He wanted to get out from under all of that and that teaching of what God had been teaching through his father. And so he wanted to go above the value system of the Bible. And the idea was, well, the grass is greener on the other side, and so long, Dad, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to take what's mine and leave. But you're an old-fashioned person. You just don't understand. You have no real wisdom, no real knowledge, and I'm going to get out, and I'll be under my control, and I'll make it on my own and do what I want to do. And I said, I believe that communication is one of the problems in homes today. We live in a very busy, busy society, don't we? I mean, everybody is so busy. Let me talk to you, first of all, about five common problems that I see as a pastor in the area of communication. Barriers that hurt communication between parents and their children. Number one is that parents do not really value do not really value their parents the way they should value their parents. And that's a sad thing. They feel sometimes that they don't have a respect for their parents because for some reason they even feel like the parents don't value them. And they feel like, I'm in the way of mother and daddy. I'm in the way of what they want to do. And mom and dad are so busy that they don't have time for me. May I say to you, mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, you need to have time for your children and grandchildren. You need to find some time and make some time. And whenever you do not do that, you show a lack of value to their personhood, who they really are. And our children ought to be valuable to us. Secondly, parents sometimes expect these children, as a parent, they expect them to fall into the parents' mold. And I'm not just talking about the spiritual things, but sometimes I've noticed as a pastor that some of the parents want to relive their childhood through their children. And that's sort of a sad thing. Maybe some instrument they want them to play because they wanted to and they couldn't do it, and they put that pressure on them. Maybe it's basketball, maybe it's football or soccer or being a cheerleader, or they wanted to be a doctor and they didn't make it, so they want you to be a doctor. And if you don't become a doctor or a dentist, you're going to disappoint them. Or they want you to be a preacher, whatever it may be, and if you don't become a preacher, you're going to disappoint them. But that's maybe some of those things is what they wanted didn't happen in their lives, and now they want to relive their lives through you. And they want the child to be what they wanted to be. Many times I have seen that. And the parents do not appreciate, maybe, the individuality of their teenagers, of their children. Your children are not all going to be just like you. They're not all going to have the same goals you have or the same goals you want them to have. And I would say, don't force your kids into a mold that you have designed for them without giving them some liberty to be the person they want to be. And again, I'm not talking about the spiritual thing so much, but we have to turn it over to God and turn them over to God and let God guide in their life and let God give direction. And we can help in those areas, and certainly we ought to help in those areas. But let me tell you this. After they are 18 years of age, you are no longer in control of them. You may think you are, and you may think you have a right to be, but you're no longer in control of them after they're 18 years of age. The only control you have over them is being an advisor. And after they hit 18, you need to be an advisor. Somewhere along the way, some dads think they ought to keep physically whipping their children when they're 15, 16, 17. And there might be some rare occasions for that, but I think what you need to understand is that you want to control them better as an advisor and through love and sitting down and communicating with them and going through those things, because they're all individuals and all of your children are different. My daughter had twins and they're totally different, born within just seconds of each other, totally different in their temperament, totally different in their personalities. And you cannot make one be like the other one. Another problem in communication is simply, as I've mentioned, we just don't have time for the children. And we say, well, I don't have time. No, let's rephrase that. You don't give the time. You have the time. We all have the same amount of time, don't we? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We all have the same exact amount of time. It's not that we don't have time, it's what we do with our time. And if you don't have time to give your children, may I ask, why did you ever have them to begin with? Why did you ever have them if you don't have time for them? Thank God we ought to have time for them to help them and to spend time with them. And sometimes we get so bogged down. Some parents, their career is more important. May I just say this, and it'll sound funny coming from the pulpit, but don't get so overly extended and involved in church work that you forget your family. You may think you're being real spiritual in doing that, but if you neglect your family, you're missing the boat. And I think it's far more important to make good memories than a lot of money. Memories that go a whole lot further than money later on in life. And when you're older, you think about their life and what it could have been like between you and them in those early days, but it's too late to change them then. And you go back and look it over, and it's sad that we see too many of our mistakes later on, but we need to spend time with them now. Now listen, dads, you have the primary responsibility to spend time with them, above and beyond anyone else, to be sure that it's done. Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up, fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Isn't it sad that there are so many children that do not have a father figure in the home? And even 72% in black America have no father figure. 72% are born out of wedlock without a father figure. No wonder there are problems, not only with the black Americans, but with a lot of children, because there is no father there to do what God said needs to be done in the home. And some of the fathers that are there are missing. They're so busy doing other things, their hobbies, their job, and making money and all of those things. We need to take time to do a proper job of parenting our children. It's so vitally important. And then a fourth thing is, children have been indoctrinated by the world, and that really can mess up our communication with them. Since 1962, somewhere right along there, I'm telling you, in the public educational system and so many of those things, they have brainwashed our children for positions of immorality and many of those other things. And you know, it's true, and that's why we're having the problems we're having today. That's part of it. A lot of it is at the home, but a lot of it is there. And so your children go to school and they tell them that your parents are dumb, and that they're going to tell you what's right, and they give you the right answers, and then the children go home and say, my teacher knows a whole lot more than you do. They're educated. You're not as educated as they are. And now I am worldly wise. I am Mr. Bright Spot, and I want you to pay attention. Or I am Miss Precocious. That is, I've matured a little younger than you thought I matured. And so, Mom and Dad, you're not near as smart as I am. Let me tell you something, young people. Don't you believe the lies that they pump in your head to cause you to disrespect your mother and dad in any way, shape, form, or fashion. They're wrong in doing that. And then parents, one of the problems is parents have never developed good relationships with their children. And may I suggest, don't wait until they're teens. Don't neglect them when they're little children. Don't neglect them in childhood. If you do, here's what's going to happen when they become teens. You know, if they don't communicate with you and you're not on their team, and I'm not just talking about a disrespectful buddy-buddy type thing, but I'm talking about them knowing that you're with them and you're on their team and they're on your team, I'll tell you who they're going to go to when they become teenagers. They're going to go to other teenagers. And they're going to get their values about sex from them, about life and its philosophies from them, about the future, about jobs, about money, about sports, about religion, all of that. That's where they're going to get it. They're going to get it from other young people. And we've got to hurry. True consequences of not being understood. What are some of those consequences of not being understood? One is broken hearts. Broken hearts. Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Keep that in mind. And a good man shall be satisfied for himself. You see, whenever we go our own way and we disregard what our parents are teaching and what God is telling us, then we have some real problems and broken hearts in those homes. Sometimes it's the parents that are rebellious. They don't take the time. Sometimes it's the young people that are rebellious. I'll do as I please, and I have that right. You know, young people now, well, they'll tell you right quick. Kids will tell you right quick about their rights, and you can't do that, and you can't spank me, and you can't tell me this, and you can't brainwash me with that religious stuff. They've infiltrated their minds with that kind of thinking in so many cases. And so they'll think, I'll do what I want to do and do what I please. And then there are broken homes. Proverbs 10:1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father. But a foolish son or daughter, we could put that in there, it's a generic type thing. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You break the hearts of the parents and break the homes up so many times. There's heaviness. Kids and parents, both of them doing their own thing, neglecting each other the way the Bible teaches it should be. Young people rebelling and turning their backs on their parents. And I'm telling you, later on, they're going to have problems with authorities. If you don't train them when they're young, and you let them just get away with anything they want to do, when they become teenagers or older, they're going to have problems with authority. You've got to teach them there is an authority, and He is God, and that you represent that authority. And if you spoil them and just let them do anything they want to do, you're going to have some problems with them later on. And there's usually a greater chance of them living in immorality and an indulgent lifestyle and unrighteousness. Now, developing good relationships in the family. This is very practical, but I hope it'll help some of our families. We need to establish good communications with the child, as I said, early in life. What does that mean? Talking to them. Closing our mouths sometimes as parents and listening to them. Spending good quality time together with them. Developing in our own lives some kind of communication skills. When to do it, how to do it, what to do. And working on those problems to solve. Let's say your daughter comes in, Dad, and she buys a dress, and the dress is too short, it's immodest, or it's too low, and it's showing too much cleavage. And she comes in, and you feel an obligation to address that. And I agree, you should. And suppose your son comes in with baggy pants down to his, down below the area that it should be. And he comes in dressed like that, and the hair is purple, pink, and green. And you're wondering, what do I do now? And what they're saying is, sometimes, I'm going to do my own thing. I know, Dad, you taught me modesty, but I'm going to dress the way I want to dress. And I'm going to wear the kind of clothes I want to wear. And I'm going to have the kind of hair that I want to have. And I think there's a lot of latitude in some of those things. But it's an attitude that is there. And they're saying, I want to express my individuality. Isn't it amazing how they conform to everybody else that's doing the same thing? And then they say, I'm expressing my individuality. No, you're not. You're conforming to all those other individuals. So what does Dad do when they come in like that, the daughter of the son? He screams and hollers and yells and pitches a fit, falls down in the floor, whatever else, grabs the dress and throws the dress away or takes the pants away from the guy and says, you go get those off, and throws them in the garbage can, and they fuss and scream and holler and all of that. I think there's a better way. And that way would be to sit down and talk to them about their relationship with God. And talk to them about the fact that they've got a heart problem. That the problem is not mom, and the problem is not dad. And you can do that in love, and you can do that prayerfully. It takes more time to do some of those things. But I think it's good to communicate about the internals first of all. And the way, listen, mother and daddy, the way you approach the problem is important. I promise you, the way you approach the problems that you face with your children is very important. Talk it out. Communicate with them. Of course you got to stand for right. But sometimes we just explode. We don't take the time to explain why we have our convictions, where they come from in the Bible, why we believe it's better for them. We just say, I said, do it, and you do it. And that may sound macho, but I'm not sure that it is always the right way. And then being a good listener is always important. Be a good listener. Listen. Listen to them. And I think that both sides ought to listen. Parents ought to listen. We think sometimes we don't have to listen, but we need to listen. And the teenagers need to listen to mother and daddy. Teenagers, give your parents the benefit of the doubt. Every once in a while, they're right, believe it or not. And give them the benefit of the doubt. And listen to what they have to say. They may know something you don't know. It does happen. That they might know something that you don't know. But yelling and arguing is not communicating properly. There's a way to sit down. There's a way to do it. There's a way to do it in the Lord. And you won't lose your position by doing that. And parents, be a good listener. And your children, if you're a good listener, they're going to model the same thing. If you're not, they'll model that. If you're a good listener, they'll model that. Secondly, make time for each other. Even when the children grow older, I think it's good. When they're independent, try to find time for them, and they should try to find time for you. Too many parents are neglected after the children get older. We get so wrapped up, and I know that's sort of natural. I wish I could go back and relive part of my life. I would have spent much more time with my mother and daddy before they went on to heaven. I really would. And that's perfect hindsight, and that's always good. But if your mom and dad's living now, spend some time with them. And don't begrudge it. Hey, go back and remember, they used to give you medicine, change your dirty diaper, give you baths, tuck you in bed, take you to school, sacrifice for you, do without so you could have things. Don't forget them when they're older. And don't forget your children, too, when they are older. There are a lot of fun things you can do together. There are a lot of serious things that can be done together. And make those things. And I would say, parents, make your activity the highlight of your schedule. Not the leftover, not the residual part of it. Not, I squeezed that in for you. But make it a highlight of your week, a highlight of your schedule, a highlight of your time with your children. And then always show respect toward one another. So important to do that. You know that I think everybody wants respect. I don't think there's a person in this building tonight that doesn't want respect. We just like to be respected. And that works in the home with the child and with the parents. Child, respect your parents. You may not understand them. You may not understand their decisions. But bless the Lord, the biblical position is Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, period. You may not agree with them, but you need to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That doesn't mean they're always right, but it means you need to obey them. And that's God's rule to do that. And I want to tell you, your parents deserve the second highest place in your life. Who deserves first place? God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if He's first place, then they're going to be second place. and they're going to have a great position in your life, and you're going to treat them with love and respect, and they'll have second place in your life. In other words, love your parents. And then exercise patience and love for each other. Patience and love. God knows we need a whole lot more of that in our churches, in our homes, and in our society. Patience and love. Parents, remember this. Your children are children. They are not adults. They may look like it sometimes, but they're not. They are children. And you can have too high a level of expectation out of them when they're really just children. And that can cause a lot of problems in their lives. Have a plan to make them a quality person, yes. But remember that children are children. And keep that in your mind and spend a lot of time with them. Work on all of those things. Nurture the qualities that are good in them and bring them up in that way. Raise the expectations so that when they are mature, you can expect more out of them. But remember, when they're children, they're children. And if they fall and fail, thank God that you have the love to reach down and pick them up and lift them up. When I was 12 years old, I did something very dumb, and it was horrible and terrible and broke my parents' heart. But guess what? They didn't forsake me. They didn't say, that's it, I'm going to kick you out of the family. If I'd have been them, I probably would have kicked me out of the family at that time. I got with the wrong crowd, did some very terrible things, and broke their hearts. But they loved me through it. And that's what's going to win, parents. Let me tell you, throwing them around, cussing them out, and talking down to them, being mean to them, that's not what's going to win them back to you. I know some parents that are so bitter at their children, they say, I will never speak to them again. I'm glad the prodigal son's father wasn't that way. And he had a right to be that way. Here's the definition of parental love. Listen to it. I ran across this. I think this is good. Patiently enduring through the childhood so that you have a good friend when they too are adults. Let me read that one again. Patiently enduring through the childhood so that you have a good friend when they too are adults, because that's where they're headed. Now, if there's a communication problem, where do you look? I'd suggest, first of all, look inwardly. Look at yourself. Don't just look at the other party. And young people, if there's a communication problem, look inwardly. Vice versa. Parents, look inwardly. Am I doing something that's causing my children to feel removed from me? Is there something, God, that I don't understand? Would you show me what it is and help me to correct that in my life and spend time to work it out? And then, young people, give your parents a chance. Give them a chance. If they are wrong, then forgive them. Turn it over to God in prayer. But whatever you do, honor according to the Bible and respect according to the Bible your parents, and God will be pleased with that. And both parties need sometimes just to swallow our pride. Amen? Just swallow your pride and work it out. That's why husbands and wives fight, and they get into these deals where they are alienated from each other. And a lot of times it's because one or more of them just will not swallow their pride. Now let's quickly go back to the prodigal son. The prodigal son. You see, he escaped the domination of his father, didn't he? And I guess at that particular age and culture, his father was willing to let him do that. And he went on about his business. He had his way. He really did. He had riotous living, and then a famine came, and he found out that he was broke. It's amazing how your fair weather friends will leave when you're broke and things are not going well for you anymore. And his spirit was broken. And he returned home. Thank God he had enough sense to do that. Amen. Now let me show you how he talked to his father then. Look at verses 16 and 17. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat. And that's really humbling for a Jew. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And he came to his senses and said, I'll go to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He had a change of attitude, didn't he? And he said, I'll come back. I've learned my lesson. I'm going to come back and say, you were right, Dad, and I was wrong. And now he's talking respectfully to his father. It's a shame he lost all of his money. It's a shame he had to eat with the pigs. It's a shame that everything was going bad in his life, but it was because I'm going to have my way. I want my way, and I want my way right now. And Dad, you don't know what's best for me. Mom, you don't know what's best for me. So I'm going on and do what I want to do. But now he's learned something, and he's talking to his father in a respectful way. I'm glad that God forgives, and God will forgive a repentant sinner. This is a beautiful story in some ways of somebody who is a sinner, who is away from God and turned their backs on God and hadn't been saved, but all of a sudden they come to their senses. And maybe there's somebody like that tonight, and you'll say, hey, this is foolishness to rebel against God. I come to God, I come to Christ, and I ask God to forgive me. And as surely as you ask Him to forgive you, do you know He'll forgive sinners? Look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, I love this story, his father saw him. Must have been sort of looking for him. And had compassion, thank God, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Why? For this my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. All he wanted was for his child to get right with him and God. And all God wants out of us, whether you're unsaved, if you're unsaved, he wants you to get right with him. If you're saved and out of his will and out of the Father's will, that could be us. We could be like maybe rebellious teenagers. It might be out of our will as parents. We can be out of the Father's will. But what does he want us to do? Come and ask for forgiveness. And as soon as we do, he'll do it. All of us are like the prodigal, every one of us. And God is ready and willing to forgive us if we'll come and be saved. So, when parents and the child share the same Savior, that's part of the thing. When they both share the same Savior, then they have a great advantage. But even at that, there are some that get out of God's will, and the relationship is not what it ought to be. Now, children, tell your parents that you want a good relationship with them, and it may be that you need to tell them tonight you want a better relationship with them. And parents, work, and this some of this applies to grandparents or whoever's raising those children, work at developing communication within the family and continuing that communication and working these problems out. It may take time, but I promise you in the long run it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. How do I react to parents that don't seem to understand me? It's a two-sided coin, and it takes both to do the right thing. And young people, we love you, and I love you, and I'm not trying to chew you out. I'm just trying to tell you, love your parents. They love you. They're trying to do the right thing for you. Yes, we make mistakes, but the Bible principle is love them and obey them. And parents, don't provoke your children to wrath. Love them. Take some time with them. Spend some time with them. Communicate with them. Give them an opportunity to pour out their hearts to you. If you will, they'll do it, and you'll be better off for doing it. May God use it to help us to strengthen our families, because there's nothing as important as a strong Christian family. The family was here before the church, and God wants it to be very strong. Let's stand, please.